Good evening, Pittsburgh. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late-night talk show, coming to you from the Center for Media Innovation at Point Park University in beautiful downtown Pittsburgh. Visit us at bergvivant.com for more on this interview and our complete archives in the Vivant Vault, as well as how you can help support our program and Pittsburgh's vibrant cultural landscape.
Oh my God, it's Anna Elder in the Berg Vivant Library. How do I describe you? You are a soprano.
Yeah.
But you are unlike any performer I have ever heard or seen. You've done some weird stuff, I think, is what I'm trying to get at.
I'm about to do something pretty weird.
we'll talk about that. But I mean, I've seen you sing in the Divas Cabaret. You've performed with Squonk Opera, which is a real fantastic and unique thing. And you have founded a company called Cameratone.
Cameratone. Well, I joined it.
Oh, you did.
They came about in 2015. So we're all women run a modern chamber ensemble, and I came about 2 years ago.
So, okay.
Yeah.
And you're the development director there.
I develop things.
Sing with the group.
Yeah, and we have commissioned this work that we're going to talk about.
And that work is, now the title I have here, and correct me if I'm wrong, Her Holiness the Winter Dog.
Her Holiness the Winter Dog is the opera.
Now, I think that's, is that a compliment to somebody, or is that like a very regal diss?
Yeah, it's definitely, in this world, it's the best compliment. It's the thing that you can be. So our opera is commissioned by Cameratone by Curtis Rumroll is a composer, and Zachary Weber, who's our librettist. And then we also have Shana Simmons Dance Company joining us and Quince Voice Ensemble, so we can round out dancers and singers, and it's going to be great.
So but what is it? Is it opera? Is it a chamber music performance?
It's kind of everything. So normally, it's all those things. So normally in a opera, the conductor and the instrumentalists are in the pit, and then the singers are like up top, and then sometimes we bring in like dancers to like make the gypsy scene in Carmen look super great, because singers can't dance.
And now come on, there might be some singers that take offense to that, or no, will most of them be like, you're right, I can't move,
I can do big arms and small arms.
Well, it's tough in opera, you know, you've usually got some big costume, you've got some horrible constricting thing, and you know, with airflow and, you know, trying to hit
airflow.
Those notes, if you're going to be asking me to do like somersaults and, you know, twirling around at the same time.
So it's an opera, because it's a story. It's classical music. It's modern classical music. But the instrumentalists play parts on stage, and they're on the same stage with all the singers, so they're all like acting characters. Yeah. The dancers are also acting characters. The Winter Dog, Her Holiness, which is a compliment, is
the HHW.
HHW. She is a dancer, played by a dancer. She doesn't speak, and she also has two cat friends with her, who kind of work with her. She's a bit of a spiritual leader. And she comes to, if you can, in this post-apocalyptic world, if you can afford to have a spiritual leader in your home for guidance and protection, you'll have a winter dog and some cats. They're human beings, but they live as dogs and cats, because in this post-apocalyptic world, almost all the animals have gone completely extinct. So now we kind of worship what we lost.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Because I think now they are treated like, you know, kings and
oh,
queens.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's living. You've got nothing to worry about except for, you know, being fed. And
my dog and my cats live significantly better than I do, especially, like, nutrition-wise. I treat my body like a garbage dump.
This is such an interesting concept. I mean, I can't think of a play or a musical or anything that I have seen or heard of that is anywhere even close to something like that.
Yeah.
But
so we're bringing it all together. Yeah. And we have Shana Simmons is not just the choreographer, but she's also directing it.
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel Nesta Curtis from CMU is our conductor. And he's also a narrator, actor. So he has a lot of things to say, which kind of piece the story together. So I guess there is some spoken word, if you will, but it's still opera.
So it's sort of like a multi-dimensional performance piece. It pulls from a lot of different genre of performance.
It does, and we just took everything that we liked and put it together.
Now, you said you referred to it earlier as modern classical music or opera, did you say?
It's not a music or opera. I mean, so Camertone, we only play works that are new music. So we play works that are commissioned for us, and we try to... We do a series every year called She Scores, which is only women-identifying composers and artists, and we try to work mostly with women.
She Scores is what it's called?
That's what it's called.
I love that title.
You're welcome.
I love it. Yeah, that's great.
That's what it's called. So we do that every year, and we try to involve other people in the community, but also, but we commissioned a piece by Curtis Remeril a couple of years ago, and it just totally jived with what we were doing, and we loved it, and he writes really well for voices, so we decided to, like, let's just have an opera. How hard can that be?
Well, if you haven't found out by now, you will before this is all over, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna make it.
But aren't modern and classical two divergent different types of music? I mean, isn't that kind of a contradiction?
No, I mean... classical music is still classical music. It's just classical music that's being composed now, as opposed to being, you know, something composed in the 19th century or something like that.
All right, I get this. So what makes it, if I'm writing it now, what makes it classical?
You're still using classical performance practices. So we're still using operatic voices in this case, and we're still using acoustic instruments that you would see in a chamber orchestra or an orchestra. On stage, we have a lot of different instruments. So we have a contrabass flute, which is 6 feet tall.
What?
Yeah.
A flute that's 6 feet tall.
Oh, yeah.
This is something I never even knew existed, and I thought I was hip.
It is hot.
So wait, how do you play a 6 foot tall flute?
Well, Sarah Steranko plays it wonderfully, and she stands up and she plays all 6 feet of it.
So, well, wait, because, I mean, now a flute, you kind of, you hold, like, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
she plays that flute, too.
Oh, right. So if it's standing, like, what do you, I mean, well, what she, you blow into it, I guess, right?
Yeah, you just
right?
stand up and you blow into, you just blow real hard.
All 6 feet of it.
All 6 feet.
I can't even, I'm trying to envision what this looks like.
Yeah, I'll send you a picture.
Well, I'll overlay a picture of this video so people know what the heck we're
talking about. The contrabass flute.
Contrabass flute.
And she's also playing piccolo in this. And
at the same time?
Not at the same
goodness,
time.
Give this woman an award.
And flute. And then Emily Cook is also playing bass clarinet most of the time, but then she's also switching to E-flat clarinet for one movement. And then we have violin and cello. We have an organ. Robert Frankenberry is going to be playing... it'll look like an organ for the audience, but it's really a keyboard with a... Spoiler alert.
Well, hey, it's very theatrical. It's like a costume.
We can't
wears,
afford a real
right?
organ. Yeah, so it's...
it's a keyboard wearing an organ costume.
Yes.
A keyboard playing an organ.
Yes, because in this world, we all live in this manner, and the... musicians are hired, the instrumentalists are hired to, like, play and entertain everybody all day, kind of like you would for, like, kings and queens and things, and there's an organ in the house, so not a piano.
Groovy.
It's just, and not an electric keyboard, an organ. And, yeah.
In your vast experience in, you know, music and music happening now, is there anything... comparable to this that you have seen that is happening? To me it's entirely unique.
Yeah, so there's a movement in I'll say new music, in especially in the opera world, to kind of deconstruct opera, and things have gotten a lot smaller as opposed to the opera companies like Metropolitan Opera. They still exist, massive productions, but there's also been some people that have kind of split off and only wrote an opera. So our opera is really unique because it's only a couple of instruments. It's not like a gigantic orchestra.
But yeah, it sounds like there's so much going on.
There's a lot going on. Yeah. So there's a lot going on. And we have a decent amount of singers too. But there has been this movement to sort of, you know, do your own thing. I mean, opera is, like, traditional opera is beautiful and wonderful, and it's... in its own way, but my generation of musicians were really interested in using all of the techniques that we've practiced, but kind of changing up what opera is for us, or what is a piece of chamber music, you know? So then you get a 6-foot flute and done.
Now this is the world premiere of this, right? Cameratone commissioned this. So, what do you think the reactions are going to be to this?
Oh, I mean, nonstop action. I mean, it's going to be like...
How have the musicians and the performers been reacting? I imagine you're in rehearsals by now.
We're in rehearsals, yeah. So how we did it is because... So everybody's kind of from all over. We have a percussionist, actually, who lives in Panama, Carlos Camacho. He used to go to CMU, but he's actually the cook in the house, and all of the things that he plays are pots and pans and drinks, and he makes drinks and stuff. Wow. Yeah. So, but he's living in Panama, and Cameratone is here.
No discredit to his talents, which I'm sure are immense, but wasn't there one closer? Wasn't there a dude closer that could...
Not like him.
You went to Panama to find him. Well, so this is awesome.
That's thing. Great. Well, we knew him. I mean, we've all worked with him before because he used to live here. And then he's just, like, not living here anymore. But what's, you know, Curtis writes the music for our strengths. And he wrote, you know, a cook part and for...
That's Carlos. Great. And it's been tailored to a lot of these performers. That's fantastic.
Yeah, so it's been tailored to show our strengths. Yeah, but we all came together in January and, like, staged the whole thing in a week, and, like, it was... Then we took a break, and now we're about to get right back into it.
Her Holiness the Winter Dog. You have two chances to see this. Two performances only, May 30th and 31st at the New Hazlett Theater over on the north side, both at 8 p.m.
Both at 8 p.m., yeah.
Get down, because it sounds like a time, it sounds like you will not hear or see anything quite like this again anytime soon.
Absolutely.
So my best to Her Holiness.
Mine too.
I can only hope to receive her blessings, blessings. Over there.
May she bless us all.
Indeed. Well, cheers to that.
Cheers to that.
As always, thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Be sure to watch our video portion of this segment and more at bergvivant.com. We'll see you here next week on Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late night talk show.